B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
What about the Eagles? So yeah, Madonna make a movie for you and give you some lotion? That's what you're saying? That's what happens?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Trey Thomas.
Herndon might be a man of the cloth for all we know.
William Wyatt. Trey Thomas.
I'm sorry.
Jeez. Hey, we're
done. Bob.
Go ahead, Vernon.
All right, here's a question for you, Bob. The Sixers played, when did the Sixers play last? Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Philly, right?
Yeah. I was there.
And they took a bus or a train or however they want to go down to Charlotte, right? Which is about 4.5 hours.
They flew. It was about an hour and a half. They flew.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So explain to me, how in the hell are we doing with a load management with Joel Embiid being off today? Help me out with that.
I wish I could.
To me,
I really do wish I could, Vernon. But yeah, he's not going to play tonight, but he will play Sunday against Orlando. I don't know.
The preseason's over. The NBA, Ben Simmons hit a three. That's all I need to see. I'm good after that.
They have been on the floor since training camp pretty much every day. So you're talking close to 2 weeks, week and a half, 2 weeks that they've been on the floor every day. I don't like it. I never liked it, but it's the way of the NBA now. I mean, you know, he played a half the other night. You take a game off. Maybe he'll play three quarter. It's a build up to the opening night.
There you go.
You might not like it, but that's just the way it is. You got to accept it.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour now, brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in a Bag at USA and Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Now, let's just take a step back here and do impressions of analysts for a second. Get away from the goofiness, I guess, and then get right back to it in a minute. But first, we're going to talk to Jason Avant, your former teammate. Jason Avant on the line with us right now. Good morning, Jason.
How we doing, gentlemen?
We are doing spectacular.
Hey, man, would you turn down 20 mil to impregnate Madonna?
I'm okay with that one.
You'll pass on the 20 mil?
20 mil. Oh, you said 20? You say 20 million?
Yeah, I said $20 million.
Oh, 20 million. It got to happen.
Yeah, $20 million.
I said meals. I said, no, I ain't doing it for no meals, but 20 million.
Meals. Yeah. Meals. Now, hold on a second. No, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. All right, Jason, that's all we needed. Thanks for calling in. But now, you were beyond on point yesterday, I felt, because I think some people right now, Jason, are afraid to acknowledge that the Minnesota Vikings are actually a pretty decent team led by a pretty decent quarterback with some pretty damn good wide receivers. So when you look at this matchup, what's the first thing that jumps out to you, Eagles-Vikings Sunday at 1?
Well, when I look at the game, I see that the Eagles have one way to win the ball game, and I see four different ways that the Vikings can win the game, and that's where it becomes problematic for me. The only way the Eagles can win if the offensive line plays lights out and they can establish the run. The Eagles receivers are leading the league in drops. They are going up against one of the best secondaries in football, so the windows are going to be tighter. So when you start to look at the games across the league, the Giants was able to stay competitive last night because they were able to play press man in situations. The Indianapolis coach beat the Chiefs because they were able to encroach the receivers and play press man. This defense can do it. When you don't have DeSean Jackson to get you out of teams that can play press man and bail you out, and you can put Xavier Rhodes on Alshon or Zach Ertz, whatever they like, and still have Trey Waynes to cover other guys. It's just a hard matchup for this team, and that's what I'm saying. I want the Eagles to win. I'm rooting for the Eagles, and I'm hoping the offensive line can dominate the game like they did against the Packers, but they have too many ways to win the ball game with the receivers, with Dalvin Cook, with their D-line, and with their secondary. There's too many ways for the Vikings to win, and the Eagles only have one way to win, and that's the offensive line.
All right, well, okay, so let's go to this for a second, because there are people that are very confident this Eagles team can beat the Vikings. If the Eagles are going to win, it's because they did what in this game?
Dominate the line of scrimmage. That's the only way they can win, and that's offensively, right? So the D-line, they can get home and all of those things, but I don't necessarily know. I'm not completely sold on how well the D-line is going to be able to get home. And you don't really need to do much. I don't think this is going to be – I don't think the Eagles' offense is going to score like what they've been averaging at 27-point range. I don't think they're going to be close to this game with the defense that the Vikings have. So I don't think that Minnesota's offense will have to do as much as we think.
is the worst thing the Eagles could do in this game get into a shootout? I mean, I don't even know if they have the offensive firepower if the Vikings get hot. But how I guess the way the game would play out, I want to see the Eagles be able to control that line of scrimmage that you're talking about, use a ground attack first and foremost, and then maybe you could get a couple of, balls behind their defense. But I'm just really hoping that the number one thing the Eagles are trying to do is, like you said, dominate that line of scrimmage and make sure they're using guys like Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders.
Yeah, that's the only way I see it happening. Like, and it's a tough feat. It's a tough feat when you got Linval Joseph, you got Danielle Hunter, you got Everson Griffin, you have Anthony Barnes. The line is full of Pro Bowlers. So they will have to, it's Pro Bowler on Pro Bowler when it comes to both of those units. And if they can get some movement at the line of scrimmage, that's the only way I see the Eagles winning this game, is if they get movement on a very good defensive front and linebackers that flow. Eric Kendricks is one of the best linebackers in this game when it comes to flowing to the football. So, they would have to, establish a run game and kind of slow this game down. A shootout, I don't see it being a shootout. But again, I don't necessarily want to take my chances with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs on, whoever we have in the secondary. I just want the guys in the secondary to compete and put hands on people. They're going to get beat, because it's, they're not as talented as this group.
Jay, do you think the Eagles are using Nelson Agholor in the right way? Now, I understand he's a slot guy, and he had his success in the slot. But now that you, as you talked about, you don't have anybody that can really go over the top, break things open. Should they look to use him in different ways more, maybe to get him more involved? Or is he just almost a lost cause right now in your eyes?
No, he's not lost cause. Last game, they had him open deep twice. One got held on, the other one... the other one was an overthrow. I mean, but the thing about it is that you can't, in order for them to be able to hit deep balls, Carson's deep ball accuracy has to be on point. That's what separates him between, the Patrick Mahomes and those guys. You begin to see, like, Patrick Mahomes' deep ball accuracy. He's down the field 20, 30 yards plus, and is on the money. When it comes to Carson, like, you need a guy like Deshaun that has makeup room for him. A guy like Nelson Agholor is not going to have the makeup room that Deshaun has, meaning at the end of the route, 30, 40 yards down, he's not going to have another gear to get to the ball. So you have to be more accurate with Carson down the field with those deep shots. I still think Nelly can get open, and he's going to be able to have some good games here and there. It's just that he's always going to be playing with a drop or two. That's what's going to happen, because he didn't have the best natural hands. He does everything else well, and it's up to Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz to elevate his game. He's one of those players that you have to elevate. He's not necessarily going to elevate himself. You have to call play calling that's favorable to him, and he can get open in the intermediate, but outside you're going to have to call a great game for him.
Speaking with Jason Avant, former Eagle, former teammate of Trey Todd. Actually, still your teammate, considering you're both doing pregame responsibilities here.
There
at
you go,
five.
Bam.
But just like that.
Big can of thunder.
Very true. So that's one of the things I'm worried about, though. The deep ball doesn't seem to really be there. The wide receivers haven't been great, obviously, for Carson Wentz. But we saw it in the Green Bay game, and then we didn't see it really at all against the Lions, or excuse me, against the Jets. That screen game, those little routes, those little routes in the flat for guys like Jordan Howard, most notably guys like Miles Sanders. You saw a wheel route come out against the Jets, but I think if they're going to have a quick strike offense, you're going to have to see a little bit more of that screen game.
Well, no, you're right. So the Packers had the idea that most teams had, this team can't get open on us if we play press man. And they're right. Right? So they are. It's like, oh, the Eagles not going to get open against the press man. But press man is one of the easiest screen games that you can actually incorporate the screen game easily. You saw this swing screen left, which was Jordan Howard's easy touchdown. That was basically the receiver going and picking his man. And there's ways as a coaching staff against a team that doesn't respect you man-to-man to get the screen game open, because all you have to do is put a receiver on the man that's covering the back, and it's an easy completion. So if the Eagles are going to win, it's going to be with a small ball game, not necessarily shots down the field where the line has to block for 4 seconds, but getting the ball out kind of quickly to the screen games left and right and getting the picks on the guys at the line of scrimmage that can open up some plays.
But for you to get the play downfield, who would be your receiver that's going to get you that type of plays down the field?
Well, the you can try Xavier Rhodes with Alshon. Alshon still can body a guy at the end, even though Xavier Rhodes is just tall as he is. He's going to be in good position. If you throw a jump ball, I think that Alshon will come out one out of three versus that guy. But I always say, no matter who the guy is, right, this is big yardage. You do yourself a disservice as a team if you don't throw four or five shots down the field that's past 30 yards, because guys in that situation on defense always panic. How many times do you see a guy that can't locate the football ends up panicking and getting a pass interference? So the chances of something good happening, if you can keep it away from the safety, it's only good that can happen. So Nelson may be able to get open. Alshon may be able to get a jump ball, but you still have to throw it down because the chance of pass interference is great.
But yeah, speaking of pass interference, Jason, I asked Ron Jaworski this when he was on with us at 7 o'clock this morning. What is pass interference?
I don't know what the NFL is doing. You know, and I think the NFL has totally botched this whole thing. They panic with the New Orleans and Rams game last year, and now you're going to replay, and now the fans can see your ineptitude as the officials and the NFL as a whole. So I don't know what pass interference is anymore, because if you're going to review it and we can see a guy getting strangled, being held, getting his hands knocked down like Alshon did a couple weeks ago, like if you're seeing these things as a fan, you're losing trust in the NFL. So if you're going to replay, get the call right. And they're not doing that right now. So I would say take it out of replay so we're left with the judgment of the officials on the field. That's more palatable to me than looking at the tape, seeing it's a pass interference, and you're still not calling it.
All right, now I'm going to get your prediction here, but I have one last question for you. But what is your prediction for Eagles-Vikings on Sunday?
I am not giving a prediction yet. I'm on a punt.
You're going to punt right now.
I'm still trying to find a way for the Eagles to win this game, because my heart is always for the Birds to win.
Okay.
But again, right now, if I'm looking at it, I'm saying that the Eagles are going to lose this game. So I don't have a prediction yet.
I got that vibe from it. But now, because you punted, so I'm going to act like I didn't even hear that.
I just punted.
Here's what I'm going to ask you, because I'm curious here. What would Jason Avant do for 20 meals? What would you do for 20 meals, besides the pregame show?
Besides the 20, what would I do? It's a bunch of things to do for 20 million. Just long.
No. Meals, as in food, what you thought Trey said originally. What would you do for 20 meals?
20 meals? Not much. Not much.
Jason's like, I can feed myself. Have you been to my trampoline park launch? Come on now. I know I'm having fun.
Come on. Listen, I want everybody to come out to the launch trampoline park. We're opening Newark, Delaware. We're opening Delaware, New Jersey. We're also opening Jersey. Come on out for the whole family. This is my commercial to you guys. Please come out to Jason Avant's launch trampoline park.
Jason, you're the man. Thanks for coming on with us, brother.
Oh, no problem. You guys have a blessed day.
You as well, man. Jason Avant, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that was a bit of a curveball for him.
Yeah. But once it got cleared out. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, he was, I hate to say it, but a little doom and gloom yesterday. And a little bit there with us as well.
Yeah, well, he's talking about the deep ball and the lack of the Eagles being able to throw it. Here's something Paul Domowicz also had in today. Wentz has completed just 4 of 15 deep balls, that throws of 20 or more yards, in the 4 games without DeSean Jackson. 4 of 15. Well, you know, you're talking 4 games. You've only, Jason said you got to throw like 5 times a game, deep 5 times a game. They've averaged, what, 4 times, not even 4 times a game.
They are in
a little
the stretch.
Over 3.
The Eagles, remember, are in their worst stretch in 20 years in not being able to complete a pass over 20 yards in the air. In 3 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done that in 20 years. That's insane.
Yeah.
And that would look, offensively, all the things that happened defensively against the Jets, great. All right, fine. You did what you were supposed to do, and then some as a defense. But offensively, there was no high-flying ability here. And if you don't have that high-flying ability against the Jets, you want me to go ahead and trust a team against the secondary, against linebackers, against a D-line like the Minnesota Vikings? It seems next to impossible.
Yeah, I, you know, it's really a battle of whose strength wins out over another team's strength. So Minnesota likes to keep the ball in front of them. The Eagles are a sit-down offense. So who wins that battle? Do the Eagles get more of the sit-down 10, 12, 15-yarders that they want? Or does Minnesota take that away also because they don't feel a deep threat? Now, does the Eagles' defense, the run defense, which has been so good, the numbers show, are they able to contain a Minnesota run game that runs the ball 30 times a game? They run it 30 times a game. And as Trey pointed out earlier today, with unbelievable numbers, two games of 211 yards. So I think it's strength versus strength on both sides of the ball. Whoever comes out winning those is probably going to be the winner of your game.
All right,
we've got Cox, and they don't. So
there you, all right.
Advantage Eagles.
And he's just, I never got you your...
Do you have like a quota that you have to meet every day?
No, I think he's going to have a big game. I really do. I think him and Brandon Graham are a phenomenal duo against the run. I think they'll take Cook out of it to a degree, and then old poopy pants Kirk will have to beat you. And actually, you know what might be a key to this is the linebackers. Because the Vikings do a lot of kind of backside running, where they do like, I don't know if you call that a stunt, Trey, where you stunt like it's going to the right and then backside it to the left. Mm. So you might get some one-on-ones with Nigel Bradon and Dalvin Cook and or maybe Camus, whoever it is. They might have to come up big versus Dalvin, both in the passing game and the backside runs.
Can we get something out of the way real quick?
Absolutely.
All right. Because the award goes to, obviously, my super freak cousin, evidently.
Well, for the big sexy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's unanimous.
Yeah, she might, like, own it.
It might be Mark's cousin. We may cousin. Have to she name left. A sexy After award.
She yeah. left. She wasn't there for that part of it. She was gone, I don't know how many minutes into the speech, but she was like, I'm out.
Well, do we know the ramifications? Like, is there a follow-up story here? Maybe a sidebar as to how said sex freak girl reacted to
you
husband
say sex
outing
freak,
her?
It kind of creeps me out a little bit,
I don't
Bob.
Care.
Like, we all know what freak is.
Yeah.
And you just keep saying sex freak.
You can
freak.
Be a freak in different ways. I think we need to identify.
In the words of Humpty.
Especially being into relative of Mark's.
In the words of Humpty, she's a freak. You know what I'm saying?
So no backlash? We haven't heard anything? Or, you know, they still together?
Yeah,
you don't leave a freak.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely not.
But anyway, apparently my dear cousin, my sweet innocent angel of a cousin, is part of the Big Sexy Report, brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, always on top.
Awesome.
Let's get to David in Baltimore. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, brother.
Do you know Mark's cousin, David?
No, I don't, but I'll tell you what. I called my boss this morning. I told him I couldn't come in. I said, load management. I can't come in. I tried it, but it didn't work with that.
It's all about load management.
I got to get with Philly's point and the Eagles' point. So first to the Philly's firing Kapler. I mean, look, I don't necessarily maybe disagree with the move. I don't know if it makes that much of a difference. I'm hearing some of the names being brought up. You know, you want to bring Buck Showalter in? You mean the Andy Reid of Major League Baseball? The guy hasn't won a big, he's never won it. And, you know, I mean, how does Klintak keep his job? I mean, the pitching was garbage this year. So you expect Kapler to win with the pitching staff that he had? I mean, they didn't give him anybody.
Right.
So and they have big problems. They have to find four starters. Four starters. I don't know where they're going to find four starters. They're going to have to, if they want Garrett Cole, they're going to have to put out a ton of money. And by the way, I'm not a pitching expert, but Garrett Cole is one of the filthiest pitchers I've ever seen. I have never seen sliders thrown at 73 miles an hour dip the way they do. Mm-hmm. Last night was just ridiculous.
Yeah, the eczema on the rotation of the baseball and how it breaks compared to his other pitches has just been one of the most dazzling things I've ever seen in sports broadcasting. But and he's obviously a phenomenal talent. But here's the other thing. You need those pitchers. But when you get back to Kapler, most people's reaction about Gabe Kapler being fired is like, okay, good, who else? Like, I think they,
right, exactly.
like there's three guys that you could have moved on from if you're John Middleton. John Middleton obviously didn't want to admit that there was a mistake in not only hiring maybe McPhail and Klintak, but also doubling down and giving them extensions almost secretly at the start of the season. So that's a very odd thing for it to come out. So it's one step in the right direction to move on from the manager, but it was like, all right, good, but it wasn't all his fault anyway.
That's exactly my reaction, because unless they're, I don't see, none of the names that I've been brought up have, like, I've gone, ooh,
all
that
right.
makes me so excited.
Girardi.
That's the Eagles on Sunday.
Girardi.
Except for Joe Girardi. Except for Joe Girardi.
Joe Madden.
No, Joe Maddon almost costed the Cubs the World Series because of his moronic pitching strategies that he did that World Series. I can't stand the guy.
They did win the World Series, though, right?
He won the first series they had there in over 100
years. They won the World Series barely.
Okay, all right. I'll take a barely. All right, now hold on. David in Baltimore, Buck Showalter.
Buck Showalter is the Andy Reid of Major League Baseball.
Oh, whoa, whoa, hold on. I said he was the Jeff Fisher.
Oh, you're taking swipes.
Well, he's made it to one Super Bowl. Buck Showalter will get you to, like, good. He's just never gone. Put it this way. Every time Buck Showalter has been fired, the team has then taken the next step and won the World Series.
Yeah, it's like he gets hired. It's like, David, he gets hired, the team turns it around, they're good, and then they're terrible. And then he gets fired, and then they're good again.
Exactly. Real quickly, I just want to make a quick Eagles point. I'm not really worried. I think the Eagles are going to win. Kirk Cousins is a garbage quarterback. A decent quarterback.
Hell yeah, David.
The guy sucks. I was talking to my friend who's a huge Vikings fan.
Look at that!
He can't stand Kirk Cousins. How that man managed to get $80 million is a crime against humanity. That guy is he is terrible. The Eagles roll this game 20 points, guys.
All right. Good morning. I hope that's what happens, David. Thank you. Can we real quick, Trey, we need to hit the trench talk again, but like Jamie's version of trench talk. Right. Now, Jamie, I have your top three reasons for why the Eagles will win this game. So here we go. Jamie's reasons for them losing.
Yes.
For the Vikings losing.
A lot of work went into this.
Yes. All right. Number three. The NFL's weird.
Confirmed.
That's pretty good. Per sources.
Yeah.
Number two. Kirk Cousins sucks.
Also accurate.
All right. Number three. Number one. Jim Schwartz will make Kirk Cousins poop his pants.
Correct.
And then that's that.
And there you go.
Trey, did that convince you?
Okay.
All right, coming up in a little bit, we do have to do a proper send-off to Gabe Kapler. Trey, you put it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
You and Jamie collaborated. It's the perfect send-off you could have for a man.
Absolutely.
As esteemed.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk on Twitch right now in the chat rooms, Mark.
About what?
About maybe Bob being the freak. Because some people on Twitch there noticed a little bottle of lotion that Bobby had out.
I like the lotion in the morning. Trey, once in a while you borrow the lotion. It's nothing wrong with lotion in the morning.
I just use it.
Sometimes my hands get a little, choppy.
But now the lotion's gone missing ever since he got called out.
No, I just put it in the bag. I forgot today. I'm showing it off. Well, I don't care. Avino, you know who promotes that is Jennifer Aniston, one of my favorites.
Look at that. Even more freaky.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Is that why you buy Avino? Because Jennifer Aniston?
Maybe. You'll never know.
I think you just told us all.
Yeah, oh, Lord, man. By the way.
Can I just say real quick, and Trey and I kind of looked at each other. I'll take Andy Reid as a head coach 10 times out of 10 over Buck Showalter, and to compare the two is absolutely ridiculous just because they haven't won championships. Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame, hell of a coach, and I'll take over most everybody in the league.
He's a beautiful man.
He is the greatest coach ever at making a team competitive for a long time. That's the best compliment I can give him. It's the best compliment I can give Andy Reid.
Well, I'll take being competitive and having a chance to win a Super Bowl just about every year that he's your head coach.
There you go.
Take that.
No, I didn't say you had a chance to win.
On its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Now, hold on. Now,
I hear you. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. On that note, so this just popped into my brain, Jamie. See, I was about to go into the what's his name, Buffalo Bill, Wild Bill. What is it,
Buffalo Bill?
Yeah. I was about to go into Buffalo Bill voice in the cliche.
Rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
Okay, I was about to go into that voice, but when I was calling it up. In my head, I started doing Gabe Kapler's voice because they're very similar. And you just played him back to back.
So you think Gabe Kapler is Buffalo Bill?
Would you dance with me? I would dance with me.
I changed the word dance, you see. 610-632-0975.
Lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Giggity, giggity. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we're going to get Matt in Abington. Let's talk some 76ers. And then here's the if you want to hear some optimism today, Jim Salisbury dropped some optimism yesterday. Did it when we did a little TV hit right after Gabe Kapler was dismissed, as Jim put it, for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Then Jim called into Mike Bisignelli's show. We have the audio of that where Jim Salisbury gives you some confidence about the Phillies and what they'll be doing next year. And then, you know what, Trey, I want to know the number one reason why the Eagles will win this game on Sunday. If they're going to win, we broke it down with Jason Avant. I want to know why the Eagles are going to win on Sunday. They have to do this one particular thing. If you were on the sidelines coaching this team, what's the one particular thing they would have to do?
Okay.
I got mine. I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. Bob, I know you got one as well. Jamie, you too. Time of the Fanatic is 9:24.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
All right, coming up here in just a second, we're going to get... There we are. We're going to get to our Gabe Kapler send-off. But don't forget about the Gritty 5K, ladies and gentlemen. You want to run in the Gritty 5K? The race is Saturday, this Saturday at 8 a.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. The website for registration and information on Gritty's 5K is philadelphiaflyers.com/Gritty5K. Your complimentary coupon is the Fanatic 2019. The Gritty 5K is driven by AAA and benefits Flyers charities. 97.5 The Fanatic will be on site, so go to philadelphiaflyers.com/Gritty now to reserve your spot. That'll be fun. Want to run with Gritty? Maybe I'll get Grittified again.
Yeah, you should. I saw the video of that this morning.
Yeah, we watched it this morning.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Bob and I watched your Grittifying this morning.
Wait, that's out there already?
Yeah.
Nobody tells me these things.
Yeah.
The Grittifying video is on NBC Sports Philadelphia already.
Yeah, we watched it at like 4:30 this morning. And we were like, look at this idiot.
He'll be in a minute. Look at this fool. Yeah. All right. So, Trey, what is your... if the Eagles are going to win this game, it's because they've done what? Well,
you're saying just one thing.
One thing the Eagles have to do well in order to win this game.
You have to stop Cook.
So run defense.
Yeah.
The defensive line, linebackers, for instance, safeties in the box, the whole thing. That's what they're going to have to do extremely well to win this game.
Yes.
I'm surprised you're going there.
Why?
Because I thought you'd go offensive line.
No, I mean, it's already been proven that if you stop the running game, you get the win.
Even if they have Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen?
I'm just saying. It's already been proven that if you stop the run game... You start the team.
Okay.
Yeah, against Chicago. All Chicago right. Held the run team, held their run off to 40 yards.
I'm going to say the opposite. I'm going to say if the Eagles run the ball and they're able to run the ball well, they win this game.
They held this Chicago to 40 yards. 40 yards. And then they went out and got 6 sacks and 7 quarterback hits and 8 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
Bobby!
That's pretty good. Bobby, what do the Eagles have to do this one thing well, in particular, to win this game?
I hate to say it, but I kind of started the week saying it, and Dalvin Cook is. That is the guy that, to me, they have to stop. It can't, even if Minnesota decides not to run the ball all that often, when they do, it can't be, you know, a second and 20, and boom, there goes Cook for 25, or you know, just breaking things, having that heartbreaking run, or catch out of the backfield where he breaks things. If they can keep him under control, and I mean seriously under control, then I think the Eagles can win the game.
All right. Jamie?
Obviously, I think, you know, minimizing Dalvin Cook eliminates the play action away from the Vikings, which is a big go-to of theirs when it comes to the passing game. But last year, you know, Kirk Cousins kind of quick hit you to death a little bit. So obviously, shutting Dalvin Cook down is going to be important. But I really think maybe some press coverage and some linebacker jumping in passing lanes could be a huge key to this, because they're going to try and get it out in that, you know, 2.4 seconds type of thing, and probably do a lot of shallow routes and quick hitters. So, you know, outside of Dalvin Cook, I press a little bit on the line and play. Take your chances. If you get beat deep a little bit, they're going to try and just needle you to death with quick hitters. So,
I think if the linebackers can have a good game, they win.
See, I think Dalvin Cook is going to get his in this game. I think they're going to be able to slow him down.
When I say contain him, I mean like 75, 80 yards. I just don't want to see that 115 and like two touchdown performance.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think they're going to be able
He's going to get his.
I think he's going to have like an 80-yard performance, like that type of deal, where he is a threat and he has a good game by normal running back standards. Bad for him, but normal running back standards, yeah, he'll have a decent game still. But
maybe you see Malcolm Jenkins in the box a little bit more.
Uh-huh. Probably. Yeah. But here's the thing with Malcolm.
You haven't heard his name much this year, have you?
No, I've seen him miss a lot of tackles in the backfield.
I think he's coming back to earth a little bit.
Well,
which is understandable. I mean, he's what? His 11th year in the league?
Every snap?
Yeah, 99.8% of all plays.
But my point is, Dalvin Cook's going to get his. I think he's going to get 80 yards around there, whatever it might be. And even that will be enough to set up that play action. I'm almost throwing my hands up in the air saying that Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs against the secondary are going to get theirs, especially if you're going to have Dalvin Cook run the football 20 times and your defense is going to be attacking their offensive line of scrimmage. They're attacking the line of scrimmage. So I'm looking at it as, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, they're going to get theirs as long as they're on the football field, because I don't think we can stop that. I don't think the Eagles can stop that. But when it comes to the Eagles' offense, the only way you can help out your defense a little bit is keep them off the field.
Yeah.
Run that football.
Yeah.
Offensive line, win those battles on the line of scrimmage. Let guys like Jordan Howardy, let guys like Miles Sanders catch the ball on the outside. We said this going into the Green Bay game. Jason Kelce is at his absolute best when he's able to get out and block downfield on screen in the screen game. Let him do that in this game. It also makes sure that you're keeping your quarterback clean. I think everything is going to start with the run game, not just establishing it, but abusing it in this game to make sure that the Vikings aren't going to have that type of offense that can pile up those points. Keep them off the football field.
And be patient with it. I mean, Minnesota runs the ball 31 times a game. 31 times a game they run the ball. That's their average. So if the Eagles are going to do something like that, be patient with it. We pointed out early on, they're not scoring, they're not looking good, and Doug a lot of times gets away from the run early. Mark, you made a great point earlier in the second half of that Washington game. Even though they were down big, they came out, had a 12-play drive, and ran the ball 9 times. Mm-hmm. That's the patience I think you need to show on Sunday. It might take a little time coming, but I think that's the patience you need to have.
Well, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Mark.
How would you feel if the Phillies signed Gerrit Cole?
I'd feel great.
Now, I promised I'd get
Needle
to this.
Needle would move.
Trey, I promised I'd get to this, and we're going to get to it right here, because Jim Salisbury was on with Mike Mastella yesterday, and he got asked point blank about Gerrit Cole and whether or not the Phillies will make a play to sign this incredible pitcher who's having a nice little postseason run for himself as well.
Absolutely.
They do.
Make a play. Well, why wouldn't you? You have to make the phone call. You have to see what the market is going to be. You have to be in that market and see where it goes, and maybe just like you were in the market for the two big guys last year.
Now, I want to see them bring in Gerrit Cole, because you need to have somebody pitch right around Aaron Nola.
Will you go the dreaded sixth year for a starting pitcher?
Yeah. Is he 31?
I think so.
So I'd go that route.
You have to understand, while making that sort of offer, you're probably going to eat, maybe up to 2 years. Uh-huh. Definitely probably a year.
Probably.
He's 29.
But you're going...
I think he's about to be 30.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so I would give him that 6 year. So even more so now.
September 8th. Okay, so he just turned 29.
Yeah, so I'd be in on that.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah.
I thought he was older than that because of his time with the Pirates, I guess. But I was a little off.
Yeah.
But no, even more so, I would give him that money. I'd give him that extra year, and that's what it's going to come down to.
I mean,
and it's Scott Boras, let's not forget.
Yeah, if you enter the year with Gerrit Cole and Aaron Nola at the top of your rotation,
mm-hmm.
and you got Arrieta and Vargas kind of on the backside, and then you take that wild card shot with Spencer Howard.
Mm-hmm.
You're cooking with a little bit of gas now.
Yeah, a little bit. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. But listen to Jim Salisbury right there. Yeah, absolutely. You got to make a play there. Let's get to Matt in Abington. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Yo, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
So I just wanted to talk about Embiid a little bit. And it's kind of, do you guys think it's kind of weird that he's already getting a night off? And,
nope.
In a sense? No?
No. I'm going to be completely honest with you, Matt. As far as I'm concerned with the Sixers preseason, let them work it out together. I'm still going to watch when I can watch. I'm going to follow it. But Ben Simmons hit a three. As far as the preseason goes, I'm done. I say that only half kidding, because I just want the regular season to happen and see how this team really does gel in that time.
Now, Matt, him sitting, does it more piss you off that he's not playing, or does it more you don't understand injury-wise or health-wise why he's not playing?
it's more of a health-wise thing. I mean, I just find it weird that, you know, we're kind of past that injury situation or the time management with him, in a sense that I feel like he should be a part of it a little more. You know, he should be playing, you know, majority of the season like he's been doing. You know, the time management as far as, you know, the back-to-backs on the back end of him not playing. And, I mean, last year he was out, 20, 25 games. A lot of it was injury, but injury definitely still scares me with him.
Yeah, I understand it because they said this is what they like. They, as I said, they've been on the floor every day for, you know, close to 2 weeks. So, you know, okay, you don't want to play him you don't want to play him 11 minutes tonight in Charlotte. Okay, I understand it. Just don't get upset thinking that this is going to be norm during the regular season. Like, he's going to play the opener and he's not going to play the second game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, they're just getting him ready to start the season.
I got 82 games where I'll be wondering about whether or not he'll play, and I'm not about to waste my anxiety on a good point there, Mark. In the preseason. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, the moment of truth, ladies and gentlemen. We make it a fish. Our picks for this weekend, Eagles, Vikings, and we'll also give you our tool of the week brought to you by Hollis True Value and Garden Center. Time of the Fanatic, 9:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We'll get to our tool of the week in just 1 second. Now, we touched on the China topic earlier with Dennis Rodman being the, I guess, the ambassador to China. Oh, I'm sorry. He's petitioning for the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he just hung up. I was going to go to our man. I was going to try to get him in. Oh, well, no big deal. All right. We'll get to our tool of the week in just a second here, ladies and gentlemen. But the picks is something that we got to make sure we have enough time for. I have said that I want to see the Eagles establish that run game, establish the run, use Miles Sanders, use Jordan Howard, make sure the offensive line finds that nice rhythm. Ron Jaworski likes some short passes coming out of the game early, nice long drive, sustain that to open up the game, whatever you got to do basically to keep Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen off the field. Because although Kirk Cousins is not a great quarterback, he can be pretty damn good with throwing the football to those guys. Keep Dalvin Cook off the field as well. Eagles are able to get after Kirk Cousins with a heavy blitz package from Jim Schwartz and dial that up whenever he can and establish the run early and get that going. The Eagles will beat the Vikings, and they'll do so by a score of 24-21. That's how I see this game playing out. That's my prediction for this game. I don't want it to be that 31-28 game I talked about earlier in the week. I don't want this game going into the 30s. I don't think the Eagles can win a shootout with this team to keep up with them. I do see a 24-21 Eagles victory is what I'm going with. Trey Thomas, what say you? All right, we'll move on.
I think this is going to be a tough game. When you look at what's going on there, I think the only chance we have is if we can shut down Cook. You know, and if we can get out there and do that, I see us pulling this game off. You know, I think we'll get out there and run the ball. We're going to try to run the ball on them. This is a top-ranked defense, so I see this being like a 19-14. We pull it off.
You got him winning.
Yeah, I got his winning.
19-14.
Yeah.
You don't even like yourself right now saying that.
Sold his soul to the devil.
Bob Cooney.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had this overwhelming feeling all week that Dalvin Cook is just going to be the guy that really, really haunts the team on Sunday. I don't know how, whether it's through the air or just primarily through the ground. Somehow, I think he's going to go off for a big game. I see the Vikings winning 30-26.
30-26. The Vikings.
Yeah.
30-26.
Boo! Mark picked the Packers to beat Eagles.
That's just correct. I did, yeah. Heavily. Jamie Litz, the NFL's weird.
NFL's weird.
Hashtag NFL poops.
Yeah, get Kirk Cousins to poop himself, get some pressure in his face, and eliminate Dalvin Cook as much as you can. I think the key is just not going to be making the one big mistake, like a Nigel Bradham whiff on Dalvin Cook in a one-on-one situation. As long as you can keep that stuff in check, I think they're going to eke out a really tough-fought win, possibly in the final seconds with a field goal. I kind of see like a 23-21, 24-21 type of game. Eagles eke one out.
All right, now before we get our final on our Twitter poll, let's make sure that we just honor Gabe Kapler one more time. Can we do that, Trey? This is a great little remix you and Jamie collaborated on to make sure people were honoring Gabe Kapler.
Disappointed that we lost the game, but proud of those guys.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
You are the man!
Throwing balls as hard as they can throw it. Let's open it up in chat. It really pisses me off when balls go underneath Reese Hoskins' chin. Guys are dripping with sweat. I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now. Gave us a very valiant effort.
A lot of high fives. What do you guys have? What would you like to talk about?
We love it. We love it. I think it's incredible. Kicking ass and taking names. Rock solid human being. All right, what's on your minds? I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
Disappointed that we lost the game, but proud of those guys.
All right,
it really pisses me off when balls go underneath Reese Hoskins' chin.
Yeah! I can't even believe it!
Thank you, Gabe. We'll all keep a special place.
I'm gonna miss you, my boy Gabriel.
You're a boy, Gabe!
You're a boy.
I am gonna miss his weirdness.
Game recognizes game. It puts the lotion on its skin. Alright. Alright, now we're all in a better place.
Alright, let's go, Phillies.
Gabe is in a better place, too, because he doesn't have to work with Klentak and McPhail anymore. So that's good, too.
Yeah.
Sam Wilson, what's the final on our Twitter poll?
The Twitter poll was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, will the Eagles win on Sunday? Our fans are very confident, despite some of us. We have just under 2,000 votes. 82% say yes, they will win.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much, Sam Wilson. Tool of the week. Did we go John Middleton for not doing enough? Or did he at least appease a lot of people by moving on from the manager?
He's toolish.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
You know what's not stupid money? Spending your awesome money at Hollis True Value and Garden Center, because fall is here. Head to Hollis True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill to find everything you need for your home, garden project, your party, your tailgate even. If you need it, Hollis has it. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
Well, you skipped me for my game prediction, so I'm going to use that. So 27.
Oh, Miss Scusi.
27-24 Eagles. Go Birds.
All right, you get both. What's your takeaway of the day too?
That it. Well, Go that Birds was the takeaway.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. All right, my apologies. Jimmy Litch.
Poopy pants. Go Birds. Worm sperm.
Thank you very much. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
As Jack said, The Rose in Titanic, which was the last movie I saw in the movie theaters.
Yes. Can I get some space on
this? I say this to Gabe. Promise me you'll survive, that you won't give up, no matter what happens, no matter how hopeless. Gabe, from me to you. Love you, buddy.
Wow. And there was a heart pump right there that you did on
Twitch.
And
there's a tear coming in my left eye, I think.
Thank you. This is Trey Thomas.
I'm going to miss you, Gabe.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Nothing but heartfelt emotions on this show. It's a real show, folks. It's a real show. My takeaway of the day is that Jason Avant would do almost anything for $20 million. 20 mil. But he would do next to nothing for 20 meals. That's what I learned today. Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez Middays. Go Birds! Here on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.